Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Bert Kreischer. So we then had the ethical discussion. Would there be a no drugging each other policy within Whiskey Congress? And how it all plays out, I found a bit disturbing, but I'll let you all judge for yourself. So enjoy. All right, Whiskey Congress is a bonus session here. We've been continuing to hang out, have some whiskey. And some other stuff we talked about in the past that has stayed in the public eye. The California Fair Play Law, which allows college athletes to make money off their likenesses, was signed into law by the governor of California. So it is now law in California.
Yes.
When we were drinking earlier today, we do stuff sometimes where we don't drink, just not often. But when we were having a beer earlier today, you told me other states are filing similar or putting similar laws forward.
Yes.
Blows up the NCAA.
So I know Illinois is doing something similar. Ohio, actually, the person putting it forward in Ohio is Anthony Gonzalez, who went to St. Ignatius, played at Ohio State, played for the Colts.
Okay.
And he's now, I believe, a congressman here in the state of Ohio.
All right.
He's a congressman because he's putting the fucking bill forward. what's interesting about that is, you know, obviously Ohio State guy, and Ohio State is dead set against this, right?
Oh, like, sure.
Gene Smith has come out and said, no way, this can't happen. The president of the university has come out, well, this isn't good. And obviously the NCAA is against it, and they want to fight it in court. But the problem is that if multiple states pass it, like you are going to have, if you can get all 50 states, like every state that's got a major, you know, D1 school in it to pass it, like the NCAA is really up Schitt's Creek.
I don't think you need every state. I think if you get California, Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania, Illinois,
you need Texas.
Texas
you
is
need
huge.
Florida.
Texas and Florida. If you get those,
Pennsylvania, like you need all.
Do you need them all?
Yeah, you do.
I think if you gotta make the state,
you need the states that cover the Power Five. Put it that way. Right?
Right.
But the Power Five covers a lot of fucking states.
It does.
So if you can get the Power Five conferences all on board, right, in terms of the states, then the NCAA has a problem. The NCAA is made up of people from, like, various people from the universities. Like, the NCAA is one of the biggest fucking scams on the planet. Right,
and there I could are people, not agree more.
And the people out there defending the NCAA are it's weird because you got people like Will Cain and all the, like, what do you want about the NCAA? The NCAA is this great thing that allows all this shit to happen. Like, listen, these schools at any time could walk away from the NCAA, right? They could, but the problem is that people like Gene Smith, who is the athletic director for Ohio State, he gets boatloads of cash from the NCAA. He himself,
yes,
individually gets boatloads of cash from the NCAA for various things, right? Like, these athletic directors are all getting paid.
They're making seven-figure salaries.
Oh, right. I mean, like Gene Smith, like what he gets, I'm sure he's in the...
Probably below seven figures, probably like $2 million a year.
He's probably making more than that.
Okay, I don't know.
You know, I mean, he's...
But we need to set the stage for people who don't know this as well as we do, because we talk about this shit on our own at a bar all the time.
Anyway, go ahead.
You want to do it or do you want me to?
Do you mean set the stage?
Just let people know what we're
talking
about.
How many people know? Like, listen, all right, college athletes can't get paid. They can't get paid by the schools.
But the universities get paid tons of money for selling the likeness of athletes. College students can't get paid.
I think everybody knows that.
Well, what college students can and can't get paid for is extremely restrictive, and the NCAA makes millions and millions, or ultimately billions of dollars off of student athletes, and this law came into play, and the NCAA basically sort of said, if that's the case, you can't play in our sandbox, and now California's saying, we don't care. Right. So the question is, will the NCAA try to stand up to this, which would mean USC can't play for a national championship? UCLA
right
won't, because they're not very good at many things. But That was, I don't know why I did that. But the point...
Like you got a beef with UCLA for some reason?
No, actually, I don't. And I don't like USC. But the idea is that if... The reason I'm saying it doesn't matter if all the states do it, and I'm saying it doesn't, is if you take away the USC's, the Ohio State's, and the schools in Florida, then the whole national championship in any sport becomes an asterisk.
I agree with what you're saying, but I still think you need to cover the states that have the majority of the schools in the Power Five, right? So the Power Five, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12,
ACC,
the ACC, and well, I said the Big Ten.
I was joking.
SEC.
Them.
Right. I mean, so if you're thinking from basketball, you're not thinking of the SEC, but those are your Power Five.
There
right?
been a few though. Yeah, Florida, been, yeah, yeah. won some national championships, recently. Right? And a friend of our show is a big Florida guy, so we can't disrespect Brian.
But yes, so again, you got the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, and the SEC. Those are your Power Five conferences. So the SEC covers the majority of the South. The Big Ten covers the Midwest. The Big 12.
And now also New Jersey and Maryland, by the way, which is stupid, but whatever.
Yeah, it's a okay.
whole different discussion.
The Big 12, mostly Southwest. The SEC is
and
South,
West Virginia.
Is like South kind of East-ish.
Right.
That's the Southeast Conference.
Yeah, you said that.
Right. And then you've got your Pac-12 is everything West, and then the ACC is up and down along the coast. The East Coast.
And now Notre Dame.
And,
which
well,
is also stupid.
In some sports, but Notre Dame is still technically
right.
independent in
all
football.
Right. All right.
But
so
all
anyway.
That shit is always comes down. It's all about money, though, right? And so here's the thing. Like, so you have, so all, like, the different schools, some of the different schools or the different conferences, like, so University of Texas, they have their own television network that
right.
brings in millions of dollars every year.
Yep.
Right? The Big Ten, like, the Big Ten was the first conference to do it. They copied
to form a network.
They right to form a network. They copied the Yankee model, right? It's like, so the New York Yankees have the YES network, right? It's a network that is exclusive for the New York Yankees. So the Big Ten said, all right, we're gonna do the same thing that they did, and we're gonna form a network that exclusively highlights Big Ten schools. They have Ohio State, Michigan State, which are your big schools for Penn State, which are your big schools for football, and then all the Big Ten
sure.
schools in basketball, and they show all the sports. Actually, it's a really cool way to see other sports. You know, women's volleyball,
sure.
golf, baseball. They show all of it. But those networks, the reason why they're so valuable is because if you went to Purdue and you want to see Purdue basketball, baseball, softball, whatever, then the only way to see it is on the Big Ten network, right? So people want it on their cable networks. So if you have Time Warner Cable, if you've got Cox or you've got WOW or DirecTV, then you have to pay money to have the Big Ten network, to be able to have the Big Ten network so you can watch your teams and all the sports that they play, right? And then they did a deal with Fox where if it's a game that's really big, then Fox gets the Big Ten games, and Fox pays a fee to the Big Ten network, right? And then also you have advertising, right? Knowing that people are going to want to watch for the various games, then you know what? The advertisers come in and they advertise. And again, the networks get money. So that's how networks get money. And between the different cable people saying, we want you to be a part of our network, and then the people pay a fee to have them on their various cable packages, and then the advertising. So the schools divvy up that money together. And it goes to the athletic directors, and they have these great facilities and all that other stuff, and that's how you're able to pay these coaches, because they have shows, right? The coaches have shows on the radio, and the coaches have shows on the Big Ten Network where they talk, and they get paid all this money to do it. And there's just ass loads of money being made on the backs of college athletes.
And by the way, every one of these organizations are classified as
non-profit. Right? Well, not the networks. The networks
are
definitely for profit.
Yes.
They don't
okay.
give a fuck because they are making a profit.
Correct.
But that's like, there's just so much money, right? Like this, and aside from the individual networks for the conferences, right? The Big 12 network, the SEC network, which is directly tied in.
The Texas.
Right. Like Texas just by themselves. And people are like, oh, it's Texas. Like, listen, University of Texas football is huge in the state of Texas.
Right.
Right. And they've got they're
an alumni
the,
and
right. They've got huge. They're the second largest school or maybe the biggest school in the country.
Yeah. They're, right.
Like
they're
it's
up there.
Between Ohio State and Texas every
and,
year.
And Michigan State fights into gets into that no, too. They do. In terms of number of undergraduate students, they're close.
They're not.
All right. When I was in college, they were bigger than Ohio State. Maybe it's changed. When I was in college, Michigan State was bigger than
Didn't
Ohio State.
Did you see my face?
I do.
That's my. When the fuck were you in college?
1989 to
93. Okay. So.
All right.
Like, a lot has changed in 30 fucking years.
Fuck you.
I'm sorry, it has.
Okay. I stand by my fuck you. But
Ohio State has over 50,000 students, and the University of Texas has over 50,000 students, and the
Michigan State.
Michigan State has like 38,000.
I'm not going to. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I've looked at the numbers, Jim.
That's a huge fucking gap.
Okay. Whatever. And.
But either way, Michigan State is a part of the Big Ten network, that's why the Big Ten network is so big.
I want to throw something back at you, though. You said this all goes to the YES Network, and I understand what you're saying. You're not wrong. But it also kind of goes back to when Notre Dame became the exclusive football team of NBC, which is way back in the day. But that was really weird.
Well, that was a huge deal, but the model is the YES Network.
And the reason – the reason that the ACC and – Notre Dame aren't in full partnership is because they're not giving up their NBC stranglehold, which again is nuts. And one of the big three networks from back in the day focused on one school.
No. NBC is not giving up Notre Dame.
I didn't say they were. I said the reason Notre Dame won't fully sign on with the ACC is because they've got NBC and they're not giving that up.
Well, it goes both ways. Sure. NBC is like, you're not going somewhere else. Right, like all your games are exclusive with us.
Right,
right.
The fact that an independent college would have a Big Three network wrapped around them is ridiculous.
Right,
I'm just saying that.
It goes to show you, but just the popularity of college football.
Yes,
right, and college basketball. I mean, think about the tournament. Right, I mean, like we haven't even talked about basketball and the amount of and the amount of revenue that the NCAA college basketball tournament generates every year, just off the name of March Madness alone.
Right,
right.
I'm as big a consumer of that product
and
as
we
anyone
never,
I know.
Like, so the numbers for college sports, like you don't really have a grasp on it because we talk about basically the main two sports: college football and college basketball.
Right,
right. But there's. College baseball actually generates a fair amount of money because their tournament is on ESPN every year, and it's nothing compared to the other two. But I mean, your baseball fanatics love the sport. That being said, maybe it's a drop in the bucket, but it's a relatively large drop in the bucket. Now, football and basketball do the heavy lifting, but if you college football, multi-billion-dollar industry,
mm-hmm.
college basketball. Multi-billion-dollar industry, right? These schools are the big Power Five schools are making a shit ton of money off the backs of these kids. Now, not everybody.
Sure.
Where I went to school, University of Massachusetts, not making a ton of money. Football team sucks. They're not in a conference. They're independent. They were in the MAC. They left. They are not making money. Right, like they made money in the past, back in the day when they had Marcus Camby and they were going to the title, and Calipari was the coach. School made a lot of money, and a lot of that money you could actually, when I was there, you could see, right? Like our training facilities were actually really nice, and they've only been upgraded since then. But they're not making money, and it's a huge thing about the state, about they should drop football, the whole other thing. Not every school is created equal. Not every school is making a shit ton of money. Not every athletic director is making millions and millions of dollars. But you have these Power Five schools, these big schools that have these giant TV networks, and that play on TV, you know, every week, and they have these deals, and they're going to the playoffs, and they're going to these big bowls. They pull in crazy amounts of money, which goes to coaches making millions of dollars a year, right?
And let's be fair. A lot of times, this argument revolves around. Should student athletes get paid? And that's not even what we're talking about. We're not talking about them being paid by the university.
So hold on, slow down. We're going to get there. But I think what I'm trying to do is paint the picture of the amount of money that's there.
Okay.
And so there's so much of it coming in. And so think about what I'm saying. You have two sports alone that generate multiple billions of dollars on their own. Then when you combine them and you've got the schools that overlap, right? Because Ohio State basketball is usually pretty fucking good, right? Like they get into the tournament, right? Like they've competed in the Final Four. They competed in the national title. It's been a little while. But they compete and they draw a crowd. And again, Big Ten Network. Right? You've got a couple schools down the SEC that compete, like you said, Florida. Florida competes in football and in basketball. Not great in football lately, but still. You have some of these schools that have some overlap. Mm-hmm. Like when Kevin Durant was at Michigan.
Texas,
right?
Yeah.
Like all that stuff. So you have so much money. And think about it. There's endorsement deals, right? Nike, Adidas, Under Armour. Like they're involved. Like they're literally just throwing free shit at the kids. And the coaches, football and basketball, the coaches get money from Nike and Under Armour or whatever to wear the logo, all the other shit. Like, none of that money is going to the kids. Right. Now, a lot of people say, well,
the kids get a free education.
They sign a contract. They voluntarily enter this contract. They get an education. They get room and board. They get the best food. Even. What?
Bullshit. Well, first of all, what they get in terms of an education today is not great in terms of their...
That's not true.
Hold on. What I'm saying is the coaches and the schools are way more concerned about what they do on a football field than what they do in the classroom and how they leave the college environment.
At most schools.
Right, at the schools where the money is.
Right, at this... Well, Notre Dame, those kids have to go to class.
Okay, but...
Which is fair, but because if there's a Notre Dame fan listening to the show, when we say the kids don't have to go to school, fuck you. Notre Dame kids have to, right? Like, okay. That's the thing. Like, listen, and that's a place I wanted to go.
I know.
Fuck Bob Davie.
Mm-hmm. Also a recurring theme on the show and our bars, I know. And fuck him. I fight you.
But I think...
Please don't beat up Bob Davie. He's probably 70 years old now, and... Fuck him. Okay, fine, fuck him.
Right. If I see him, I will fight him.
There will be a fight.
That being said, the issue, the argument about the education, the argument that you're trying to make, I disagree with. Because, and this is why. It is up to you, as a student-athlete, right? It is up to you what you do with the opportunity that you're given, period. Right? I don't care where you go. I don't care about the pressure that they put on you. If you want to do it, you can. Robert Smith went to Ohio State, played running back, one of arguably one of the best running backs to ever come out of Ohio State.
And that's a pretty impressive list.
It's an amazing list. And instead of going to the NFL, easily could have gone to med school.
Right. Yeah, but that's a perfect example for my case, because he was punished for putting academics even close to the same plane as athletics. He was kicked off the team briefly because he was studying past curfew. Studying! Not out partying, whatever. He was studying past curfew, and they suspended him from the team because he put academics first.
Well, that's... Okay, so I know that story. He got reprimanded for being up past curfew. He said, "I'm studying
in his room with the lights on."
Okay, and they're like, "All right, well, you know, curfew, wrap it up." He got suspended because of the argument that then ensued, where he said some things that he probably shouldn't have said. And so you're not wrong, but you're like, that's not the full story, which matters. But you're right. Okay, fine. But Robert Smith is not a bad example. All right, because listen, okay, fine. But guess what? He still got the grades and he still was a good fucking player.
But if Robert Smith was the second string, if he was a second string player, they'd have dumped his ass.
If he was a second string player, they wouldn't have cared.
They would have suspended him and said, fuck off.
They probably wouldn't have suspended him. I'm studying. They're like, all right, well, this is probably your only chance. It's fine. Do what you gotta do.
Those are John
Cooper days. It doesn't fucking matter.
Okay.
Okay, but there are a number of players, and this is where these guys don't get credit, right? Because the problem is we highlight the Antonio Browns, who I'm not 100% sure Antonio Brown can read, evidenced by emails that he sent that had to be translated from jive gibberish, right? Even for me. And I'm, you know, I grew up in fucking Youngstown. So, but there are a number of players who went to school, who went to class, and did the things that they needed to do. Even if they left as a junior, right, there are plenty of guys who even come back and finish it up, right? But there are also plenty of guys who never play in the NFL and win conditioning. And coaches give me shit about it. Well, can't you change the class? No, this is the only time that they offer it, right? The only time of year, they do it once, you know, they don't do it both semesters, they only do it, and this is the only time. Well, you need to look into getting another class. No, I can't.
But you were a start in every Massachusetts. Is that fair to say?
I was a solid player.
You were, all right. I have a friend, and I haven't talked to him in 25 years, but I was friends with a guy who was a baseball player for WVU in a time where that meant you had almost no chance of going pro. And he told me that the coach who was revered as a student athlete, advocate, and his last name was Ramsey. I want to say Dave Ramsey.
No, but anyway, the name of college baseball coaches.
Especially from 1993. But at West Virginia University. But anyway, he told me that the coach told him, baseball's first, school's second, and if you have time for a social life, you're a better man than me. That's for baseball in West Virginia. Fair,
that's true. And almost everybody gets that same.
Okay, okay.
I mean, unless you're at West Point or one of the, you know, right, one of the academies.
Where you're literally making a commitment to the military.
Right, but I mean, you also have Notre Dame. You also have Stanford. Then you have the Ivy League schools. And yeah, it's different. But no, there's still pressure.
Sure.
But it's still, like, to me, like, the idea that, well, like, listen, you do get an education. Like, and so what's funny is,
you can get an education.
You can absolutely get an education. That is, and it's worse in basketball, I think, than in football, because you have so many guys who assume that they're going to go pro. Right? Like, right. I mean, you have so many guys that assume that they're going to go pro, and it's just like,
the numbers aren't there.
The numbers aren't there to back that up. And I think the basketball kids live under a greater delusion than the football kids. Right, unless you're maybe at an SEC school, or you're at Ohio State specifically, or like a Michigan or something along those lines. But for the most part, I think that your football players, and I think I hate saying this because I know I saw a study that showed that of the major college sports that the football players have arguably the best numbers in terms of matriculation. Between football and basketball, and maybe baseball. But I think those numbers are skewed because the baseball and basketball kids can go pro sooner.
Well, baseball, you can get drafted and still play college ball. You just can't get money.
Right,
you can't. And basketball,
yeah.
There are different rules. I want to move on because you brought a story to my attention. Well, I don't know the
details. I don't want to move on because there's a lot to unpack here. So okay. we'll get there. So,
the reason we've been doing this for 22 minutes already.
I know, but all right, listen, it's a big thing. So the reason why it matters is, one, you have the amount of money coming in. So for the schools to say, well, we can't pay everybody. Now, part of that is fair because University of Massachusetts, individually as a school, cannot afford to pay its student athletes, especially if you say you have to pay all the athletes and you have to pay them all the same, right? You just don't have enough money being generated by enough revenue generated by the sports teams at the University of Massachusetts where you can put that burden on them to pay their student athletes.
If the swim team is getting paid the same as the football team, the swim team does not generate
revenue. At the University of Massachusetts, it doesn't matter because the football team barely makes any money, right? Like, I think technically they operate in the red. So that's not going to work. It's not going to work at fucking Texas State. It's not going to work at Georgia Southern. It's not going to work at Appalachian State. Their football team is very good, but name a non-football player from, like, in any other sport at Appalachian State, right? Like,
I'd start with the name of player at Appalachian State right now.
All right, fair. But I mean, App State has been pretty good since they've come up to Division I. My point is that other than the top schools at the Power Five in the Power Five conferences, that's where a majority of your money is, right? It's not equally distributed across the plane, right? It's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and a lot of those billions of dollars are being generated by probably, 10% of the schools, right? Like your your best SEC schools and your best Big Ten schools and your best ACC pack. You know what I mean?
Like Big 12, Big 8,
the schools that we know, the names that we know. That's where that's where most of the money is being generated. And that's where most of the money is going. So the idea that the schools individually can pay these players, right? Especially if we say. Because I don't feel you can say, all right, well, we're going to pay only the revenue-generating sports, right? Because I feel like you're going to have a Title IX issue. You're going to have, especially for your state schools, you're going to have all sorts of issues with equality and fairness with that, right? Like, so you can't just pay the basketball and football team.
It's hard to sort them out. I agree.
Right? Like, and so the baseball team, the girls' field hockey team, like all those students are going to be like, what the fuck? So you can't do that. Right, and then you don't want, and I don't care what anybody says. I got into a thing with a guy on Twitter. A guy was like, "Well, the NCAA should just pony up and pay everybody." You don't want that. We all agree that the NCAA is corrupt. We all agree that the NCAA is basically a fucking cartel. So giving them even more control over the players seems like a terrible fucking idea. All right, so we're gonna throw all this money in the NCAA, and we're gonna trust them to divvy it up the way that it should be divvied up. There's no fucking way that they would do it. They will fucking ruin it before it even begins, right? Which is, so that's out. So this is where the California Fair Play Law comes into play, is what I've been saying all along. You let these kids get paid for, if you want to sell their jersey, if some fucking car salesman Bob says, kid, come up here and stand and let
sign
people shake your
hand, bobbleheads, whatever. Yep.
And that guy wants to make the terrible investment of giving this college kid $10,000 to not sell F-150s at his Ford dealership. Then let that guy make that bad investment and let that kid make money off of the fact that he's good at playing ball.
Yep.
Right. Because if I'm on an academic scholarship and I want to be a model, or somebody wants to pay me to do whatever, it doesn't matter. I can accept it, and it doesn't impact my academic scholarship. Right. I could do whatever I want. I could work, I could do whatever. And, so, you know what I mean?
So you were a Division I athlete, technically so was I, but very different sports. But when I was trying to make it as a chemical engineer. And if I would have gone to work for a pharmaceutical company in Morgantown, and there was one that I did try to work for, it didn't work out. But if I was going to go be a student and get paid to do a different job, no one would have batted an eye.
You weren't on scholarship, though.
I was. That's true.
So, and that matters. And that's why I throw in there, like, if I'm on an academic full ride, like, there are no limitations to what I can do to earn money. There may be a few scholarships that say, all right, if you make X amount of dollars, you have to offset your, like, there are some scholarships out there that say, you know, if you make money based on your tax returns, then it will offset the scholarship you get. Not a ton, right. But, you know, if you get an academic full ride, then
all right.
You're yep. Then okay, but that's the comparison, right? Like, so I'm this
honor. West Virginia University was not getting money off me working for Mylan Pharmaceuticals. They were not, although Mylan Pharmaceuticals, Mylan Pushkar, Mike Pushkar has probably put $100 million into that university. I mean, the athletic center there is named after him. No. So. But you're right. I was not receiving a benefit from the university and then going outside of it.
Right.
You are correct.
So, but if I'm, again, that's my point. That's where, to me, this is not fair. So just, and the funny thing about it, everyone arguing against this, right, are the same people who will scream in your face about free market capitalism and why socialism is bad. Right. And you have to let the free market train. I fully agree. Well,
let the free market include 18 and 19 and 20 year old athletes who are bringing the money to you.
And
by
here's
the way.
The question, and I have to ask this, because
are you asking like, am I going to?
No. I think you'll agree with this. I think a big reason why there's so much pushback is because of who the people are who generate the money in college football and college basketball.
Well, they're very racially diverse and from very diverse economic backgrounds. I'm just kidding. No, they're not.
Right?
There's a lot of poor black kids from right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just like you look at, I mean, like, yeah, you got plenty, like, yes, there are white kids. You got Tim Tebow. Now, Tebow is adamantly against this.
Right.
Right? He gave this impassioned thing on ESPN where he said, well, you know, I went to college because I wanted to be the team player and I was there to grow and be the best that I could for my university and blah, blah, blah. And that's what I signed up for. All right, good for you.
Good for you.
Oh, good for you. right? But, I mean, it's just like, in his other argument, well, if you do this, it completely changes college sports, and it's no longer about the team, it's about me, and about my endorsements and what I get. And listen, kid.
Tim Tebow hates to be individually praised. He hates that.
I'm being sarcastic as fuck. I know. But, I mean, which is kind of taken away from my point a little bit, just because, like, Tim Tebow, you were put on a pedestal. Right, everything that you did on your team, you were on a fucking amazing team, right, with a fucking murderer.
And you chose to and you chose to highlight your faith and try to spread your religious convictions using that platform.
Don't hold that against him. That's not right.
I'm not holding it against him. I'm saying it's real.
But I mean, he was the highlight.
Right. Right.
Like, so whether he got paid for it or not, like, is beside the point. Like, he was put on such a pedestal that when he did come out, He was a great college quarterback. Great college quarterback, and he
really bad program. He wasn't really bad. He just wasn't great.
He wasn't good, but he won a lot of games. And he beat the Steelers in the playoffs. So I was like, "Fuck." But the thing about
with one play, by the way,
I mean, Tebow also comes from a family of money. Now, the other thing is too, like, listen, you're playing these college sports. There's no guarantee that you're going to go to the pros. None. In fact, there's a very, very high chance that you're not. Like, only 1% of these kids are fucking going to professional sports. Right, so if, like, so not all, like, so a lot of these kids are really good college players, right, but that don't make it to the pros, whether it's because of injury or just because for whatever reason they don't check all the boxes to make it to the next level. So if you're a guy who's good enough, even like, so then that's all of a sudden where the guys at the University of Massachusetts or the guys at Youngstown State or the guys at the University of Buffalo, right, who are really good and in their area are semi-celebrities, if somebody wants to break that kid off $10,000 to, again, go, and I use the car dealership
as a perfect example.
Right. If somebody wants to give that kid money, think about Khalil Mack, right? Like, think about Khalil Mack, and let's just say they never would have found him, right? Like, let's say Buffalo never plays that game against Ohio State where he fucking dominates, right? Which, still to this day, maybe one of the greatest defensive games ever by a college football player. But let's just say they don't play that game, and he never gets discovered, which is hard to say because they were going to find
him. And I'm going to come at you with another UB player in a second.
But and your example is actually better because Khalil Mack was so good. He was
Tyree Jackson rewrote the record book as a quarterback for the University of Buffalo. He was going to transfer out to try to get to a bigger school. Someone gave him terrible advice and said, go pro. He went undrafted, and I think he is now on the Giants practice squad. But Tyree Jackson was a phenomenal player at the University of Buffalo. In Buffalo, University of Buffalo, from an athletic standpoint, is not impressive. I mean, the fact is, UB football has been to 3 bowl games in the history, 2 in the last 10 years.
Oh yeah, but that's UB moved up.
They moved to Division I and
98 or 2000 maybe
somewhere there. But anyway, Tyree Jackson in Buffalo was a local celebrity. Did you know his name until I said it? Okay.
Nope,
you're a passionate college football fan. I think UB played UMass one of these years recently. Maybe not, but I don't know either. But the fact
we did because we were in the MAC.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Tyree Jackson could have made money.
When was this?
He was drafted. He went undrafted last year.
Oh, this is in the last two years. Okay.
He was on the Bills practice. No, sorry, he was picked up by the Bills as a free agent and did not make it to their practice squad. But in the city of Buffalo, so many people were behind him because he was so
and that's,
dynamic.
And that's a perfect example, right?
Exactly.
Of a guy who's not guaranteed to go to the NFL, and that shouldn't be. It shouldn't matter whether you're going to go to the NFL or not. But if the school is seeing some sort of financial advantage because of this kid, or
they just made money because of Tyree Jackson, right. I promise you.
Or just the flat out that if somebody wants to use the kid's likeness, right, then they should have that. Now listen, the one thing that I don't know how you deal with is the quid pro quo, right? Quid pro quo.
You know, I was going to make fun of Trump for not saying that very well. Sorry. But we both fucked it up tonight.
Quid pro quo.
I think of Hannibal Lecter. Quid pro quo. Can't say Clarice either.
Anyway, so aside from our inability to say it, that's
we're drinking, though. We acknowledge it.
That's where I get concerned, because here's $10,000. I'm going to need you to fumble in the fourth quarter.
Now, okay, but that can happen with or without legality.
That can
fixing games.
Right. It seems like it probably is happening less now than it was in the 80s and 90s. But that's something that you would need to be concerned about. What I think you do, that's all of a sudden where, if you want to bring the NCAA back into this, you say, all right, you guys need to have there needs to be a place where if someone comes to a kid, offers them X amount of dollars, and then makes certain demands on what they actually do on game day between the lines, then that kid needs to be able to report it. One, let them keep the money, and then two, go the fuck after whoever.
Give them a whistleblower policy, which pieces all the way back to that. But I will say this, though. Because
that's a crime. It's actually a federal crime.
Right. And oddly, that's what put Henry Hill from Goodfellas in prison, or in the witness protection. I will say this, though. That kind of corruption is a whole lot worse when kids can't make money legitimately.
Agreed.
Because if you tell me...
Because now a kid has options. Like, oh, you're going to make me go do something? All right, well, cool. I'm going to let the media know this is what you did, Bob Sugar Car Salesman, from Bob Sugar Car Sales. And then I'm going to go...
Bob Sugar's a bad guy.
Right. And then I'm going to go over to Tom Cruise dealership where he's not going to put any sort of bullshit like that on me. And I can play freely and not have to worry about it, but I still have money in my pocket.
And I mean, a perfect example of this is Reggie Bush, right? Reggie Bush was as big a star athlete as there could be at as big a school as possible. And when he was getting thrown money and things, he took it because he didn't know. I mean, he knew he was going to go pro. He knew he was going to get that. But they're telling him, we're going to give your mom a house. We're going to give you a $40,000 SUV. And if you say no, you get nothing. Yeah. If you say yes, you're a college kid driving a $40,000 SUV. And you're coming from the hood. You know,
it wasn't even that. And Reggie Bush.
He was. He was, definitely. Reggie Bush? He was from Compton, I thought.
From
L.A. And anyway.
Well, what I'm saying, I think Reggie Bush's thing was... Yes, it'll be nice to have all this shit, but at the end of the day, I'm gonna go pro. It's not gonna matter. And
agreed.
And I think,
but if your choice is nothing or a lot, or something or a lot, something keeps you from making those bad decisions to a degree.
And yes, and we're saying the same thing. I just think, again, you got the kids who. I think the better example is always the kids who aren't going to go pro.
So Tyree Jackson becomes
the kids at the smaller schools, or you know, just like you know, all those different people who were at some of these bigger schools that were well, like a guy like JT Barrett.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Like JT Barrett, like star. You know, one of the best Ohio State football players of all time. I won't say quarterback because I don't think he was that great of a quarterback, but he was a great leader.
But his numbers were amazing.
His numbers were amazing because he played for 42 years.
There's that.
But he's a guy who, you know, if people, like, I mean, he sold a ton of jerseys. People love JT Barrett, right? Like, and all, like, in the, like, they use his likeness all the time, all over the NCAA and college.
The university made millions of dollars selling his jersey.
So that guy should be able to tap into that. That is capitalism. That is capitalism.
Free market, baby.
At its best. So that's why I think that.
Again, and if JT Barrett had the power to withhold his services if he didn't get paid, which. Free market, the university would bend over backwards to give him that money because they know what he can do on the football field is worth it for them.
Yeah, no, I can't. Again, that's what you want to avoid.
I agree. I'm just saying that these kids have no power, but if it was a free market, they would have a ton of power.
Right. So it's not completely free market capitalism. I mean, and the only reason I say that.
I'm not a free market capitalist.
Right. The only reason I say that is because, again, that would kill the smaller schools. Right, like
I agree.
Right,
I agree.
I mean, and not because, and I'm not saying like because not everybody can go to Ohio State, right? Like it's great that you're just like, well, Ohio State pays their athletes, so I'm gonna pay their athletes,
I'm gonna go there, right?
Or pay them
right,
more, right. So I'm gonna go there. Like, bitch, no, you're not. Like Ryan Day needs to want you to be there. He doesn't want your 4940 ass there. Get your ass to fucking Buffalo or UMass or wherever the fuck.
Okay, thank you for bringing your school back there.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how it fucking works.
We've been going on this for 38 minutes now.
Okay, sorry.
It's fine. I've enjoyed it, and I love drinking with you, and it's a good conversation.
Don't make it weird.
Okay. You want a hug? No? Okay.
I have an erection, so you hug at your own risk.
Do you really? That's not good.
Doesn't
I'm
take
a
much.
Little freaked out.
Doesn't take much.
Okay. I'm freaked out now. So we need to talk about two things. First of all, you sent me a story that I frankly only skimmed, but some dude claims Elizabeth Warren. So we talked about Biden and
dude,
and
just lay it out there. So don't
even. No, do it. I don't.
All right. So there was a story that broke out on Twitter that this kid, Kevin Whaley, was paid. He's 24. He's a former Marine. And allegedly he was paid by Elizabeth Warren for like a sexual relationship. Breaking news.
Okay.
Except for this is coming from this kid named Jacob Wall. Jacob Wall is a fucking hack, right? He's a like, first of all,
you should stop. You should apologize to hacks.
Yeah. Okay. So this Jacob Wall guy, he in California, he's young. I think he's younger than 26 or something like that. He started a fake investment group. He took a bunch of people's money. They realized that it was like basically a pyramid scam. He was a young Bernie Madoff. He lost all these people's money. So he lost his securities license in the state of California. And I believe charges have either been filed or will be filed against him in that state sooner or later. He's also a huge Trump supporter. And constantly comes up with conspiracy theories to take out Trump's opponents. He put a video out there that some guy claimed that Barack Obama paid him to smoke crack and have sex with him in the back of a limo. Yes, right? Like, this guy's literally saying he found some random gay guy to say that Barack Obama was in a limo and gave him $1,000 cash and asked him if he could score some crack so they could smoke crack together and have gay sex in the back of a limo. This is a story that Jacob Wall put out there. And it's about as believable as me winning the Tour de France. It's just not going to happen. So he's a huge Trump supporter, and I don't know if it's legit Trump support or if the guy just is a troll or what, but he's been banned from Twitter because he, you know, like, he was putting out so many like fake shitty tweets. He was on Instagram, and this was just last month, where he was taking pictures of himself smoking. Now, in his defense, he was smoking some really nice cigars until he pulled out the Cohibas, which were easily identifiable as fake. But he had some pretty nice cigars, and he was claiming to be in places like Milan and Morocco and Paris and Rome, except for all the pictures were taken in the same backyard behind the same fence.
That's so awesome.
At the same table, right? Even like, not even a different angle, because you could see the tree, right? Like, the shrubbery in Milan and Morocco is probably going to be vastly different. I would have to imagine.
That's a safe bet. I've never been to either of those places.
Fair. But I mean, like, so the guy is just a complete hack. But he publishes this report that this Kevin Whaley guy had Elizabeth Warren pay him for a long, like a year long sexual relationship. Right. First of all, Elizabeth Warren is in her late 60s, early 70s.
Is she that old?
Yeah.
Is she really? Okay.
Listen,
I don't care.
I don't. Yeah. You know what?
I don't care.
You know what? None of it actually, like, if she did.
You want equal, equality? Women paying for sex and men paying for sex? Same ballpark.
I think most people are like, listen, Elizabeth Warren, you're 60 plus years old. You're getting railed by a 24-year-old. Good for you.
Good for you.
Right. I mean,
I am more impressed with her, if that's true.
If she's doing her job,
doing everything else, and paying 20-something jack dudes to bang her, I'm like, this, maybe she does get it.
Right.
Maybe, like every president in the United States, she can be a philanderer.
She can do the job. Maybe she can do the job. Right? Now, I say that sarcastically, but...
A little bit.
Does she get a little bit?
Honestly, honestly, she kind of does.
I look at her from a different way. Now, here's the thing.
I want to steal a line from the movie Casablanca. I do respect you, but it's a line.
Well, while you think of that terrible line,
all right.
I do. My question, I guess, my question is, if Elizabeth Warren came to me and said, "Hey, Big Daddy, how would you feel about a check every month for a little bit of action when I'm in Ohio?" Oh boy, I don't know.
Oh, there's a number that would. You have a number. I don't know what that number is.
Yes, I have a number. I am absolutely not above it. The issue is, I don't know. Like, my issue is the ability to perform. Right?
What's that?
My issue is the ability to perform. Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't look at Elizabeth Warren. Like, I don't know if there's enough whiskey where I can make that work.
There's enough dollars.
I mean, there's dollars, but there's certain biological things you could find a fluffer.
Well, if you're getting paid X and fluffer wants 25% of X, I mean, you can handle the rest.
I mean, fluffers.
I cannot believe I'm having this conversation.
Can Viagra? Is that like? I mean, I don't need Viagra, but
I'll fully confess. I have used Viagra. It works really well. I don't need it. But I was dating a much younger woman and wanted to do the pretend I'm 25
stop,
again.
Jim, stop.
Oh, I gotta stop. You were talking about banging Elizabeth Warren and whether or not you get a hard on when you're saying you had a hard on earlier on the show. And I'm the fucking bad guy? Really? Really?
It's hypothetical. We're talking about hypothetical sex. Not real sex.
Okay.
Hypothetical sex.
You sound like Jackie Childs from Seinfeld right now, and I think it's on purpose and it's appropriate. And we have gone down an avenue that I never thought we would go to. And if I was a decent person, I would be ashamed right now. But I am not. I'm actually kind of enjoying it.
Well, I'm just saying. If all of a sudden, right,
so
every time Elizabeth Warren comes to Ohio,
and I disappear. Warren, Steve wants to bang you. Let's just put it out that way. That's where I chose to go. And I'm proud of this. I am so proud of this right now.
I mean, listen.
Steve wants to fuck Elizabeth Warren. She's just get
willing
to
pay for it. I guess I'll be able to.
All right, you know, you have.
I can order that shit from Canada, right?
When I've got some here. Dun dun dun. But anyway, oh my God! Again, don't need it. Have used it. It works. And
you don't have to
throw in $2 million. And I will say this:
when
I was talking about running for Congress 2 years ago, and you said you would have to be my campaign manager.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to bang Elizabeth Warren, I have to be your manager for that. I have the Viagra connection, and
did you just offer to be my pimp?
You know what? I think I did.
Oh.
I think I did. All right. So there's one more thing I want to talk about, because this got weird so fast. In a good way.
No.
Speaking of getting weird, I mentioned I drove back from Michigan a couple days ago. Yesterday. Jeez, fuck yesterday. And
see any camels on the way home?
I did not see any camels. But I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast, which I'm a huge fan of, and they were doing the intro to their Sober October, an event that you and I will never participate in.
Unless I think at some point we should.
I think we should be like a sober, like from October 1st, 9 a.m. to October 1st, midnight.
We should do a month.
I
think we do a month. No booze.
What would the rules be?
Is
weed allowed?
Weed should be allowed.
All right.
But
No booze for a month.
No booze for a month.
That would be interesting.
I mean, October's already started, so we can't do October.
So we have a year. We have a year to forget about this.
You know, we can figure out a month.
All right. Anyway.
Like February.
Joe Rogan, Bert Kreischer, Ari Shaffir, and Tom Segura have done Sober October for 3 straight years. They were doing their intro discussion of this year's Sober October, and they always throw in additional challenges, and we can do additional challenges if we want to do that too. You look at me like, are you crazy? But Joe Rogan competing with Bert Kreischer is also crazy. Anyway, going into this event, Ari Shaffir, who I think is a phenomenal comic and a really funny guy, drugged Bert Kreischer. He put Molly in a drink and gave it to him prior to their Sober October moment.
So,
and admitted it. And
do you know what Molly is?
I do. It's ecstasy. Okay. It's like a super intense version of ecstasy, I think.
Yes.
That's right. It's not just, I think there's degrees, but Molly is like next level shit, which is a party drug. it apparently makes you incredibly sexually...
Enhances your senses, and it just makes you feel real nice.
And that's what Bert Kreischer said.
And so the issue that I have with this story, like, so I agree. I think we should have a no drugging each other policy.
Yeah.
Maybe with the asterisk. Just because, I don't know, I might get whimsical one day. I don't know. But
What? No, you did not give yourself an out. I can drug you and say, I just felt whimsical. That is not policy. That is not legitimate. You tried to get that through. What the fuck was that? And what would you drug me with, you fuck? Probably Molly. Probably Molly.
Just to sit back and watch you just rub your face and talk about how warm and cuddly you feel.
I cannot believe you just did that.
I'd have a buffer. Like, I'd bring somebody over, like a female.
Well, right? Thank you for getting gender appropriate.
You just
said you'd like, I want an asterisk on whether or not we have a no drug each other policy. You, unfucking believable.
Right? Just, I mean, so you're safe. You know, we do it here.
No. You are Ari Shaffir right now. You do not get to attack Ari Shaffir. You just justify it. Because he even said, like, so I'm listening to this podcast.
I gotta be honest. So the funniest part about this, you're telling me, like, oh my God, this is so horrible. And I tried to play it off, like, oh my God, I totally agree. But in my head, I'm like, I would totally do this to you. Like,
you saw
that. Like, one of the worst things you could have done is told me about this, because I'm like, I'm probably going
to
do it.
I now need to, like, roofie guard every drink I have with you. Right, like, those are tough to get around.
Man, I spent so much time when you're not here. It doesn't matter.
You have a key to my house.
I know.
I can't.
But I would need to be here to see it. Right. And again, so I would make sure there's a buffer between us.
So the only thing that keeps me safe is me knowing I need to provide you with a proper level of entertainment for it to be worth your while.
I mean,
you are as bad as Ari Shaffir. You are as bad as Ari Shaffir.
That's fair. I mean, what makes it even worse, like you told me, and I'm like, hilarious. And you're like, it's a bad thing. I'm like, yeah, it's a total bad thing. We shouldn't do this to each other.
All right, you're not safe now. I'm all right.
No, you don't. Okay, that's fine. You listen.
I'm not using Molly.
Okay, I'm like, if you think it's a good idea to fucking roofie me with Molly and lock yourself in a room with me.
I know shit that.
All right. I mean, listen, you're a chemical engineer. I get it.
Worked in the pharmaceutical industry. It's fine. I know shit you don't.
I'm fine. I'm saying it's fine. I still think it would be fucking funny. I'm willing to risk you doing it to me, but I just think it's funny. I think we should probably have a rule that we don't.
Yes,
I'm just saying.
I'm going to take a stand here. I can't believe we're having this conversation. I thought of all the things we would not argue
of
about,
all the things.
Not drugging each other into
criminal. You thought it would be something easily agreed upon.
We won't commit felonies on each other and talk about it.
It's only a felony if you're reported.
Which is exactly what Ari Shaffir is counting on, because fucking A. It was so funny, Steve, because he is. So Bert Kreischer was he was saying he had panic attacks, he couldn't hang around with his wife and kids, his pulse is racing, and he was afraid he was going to die, and Ari's like, yeah, I feel real bad about it, while laughing uncontrollably. It's like, you clearly do not feel a moment of, and then he would justify it saying, I have to be sober for a month because of you, because you couldn't control your drinking. And the funny part about it is, this all started like 3 years ago, and Joe Rogan wanted to quit drinking but smoke weed, and Ari Shaffir started the Pray for Joe campaign so that Joe couldn't smoke weed, saying Joe's a drug addict. And he didn't mean it. He was like, fuck you, Joe Rogan. You don't care about booze. You're a weed guy. So he forced the hand that made me completely sober. And now this year, after 2 years of being able to forget things because of consuming a bunch of Molly, probably, now Ari Shaffir is the guy saying, why can't I do some fun stuff?
Right.
So the irony is there, but the fact that you just flipped on me.
I didn't really flip.
But you just lied to me before when you were accurate. Okay.
I was just never really honest with you the first time.
That's fucking believable.
Just saying. I literally thought you told me that. I'm like, that's hilarious. I need to figure out where I can get Molly.
Yeah, I was going to say, what bothers me.
Actually, I know exactly where to get it.
That's what bothers me the most, is I would have no idea where to go. You probably have a guy on speed dial.
I don't have a Molly speed dial guy.
How long would it take for you to get Molly?
Not long.
All right. I don't know where this is going.
How
This could be mutually assured destruction.
I will, how long does it take for us to get from here to PRT? PRT. The tavern?
Oh, jeez. Oh, fuck you.
Well, 20 minutes.
Yeah, so. No, it's not far enough. Now that I know what you're talking about, it would take you that plus 3 minutes. I cannot believe we're having this conversation. All right.
I won't drug you. I promise.
If you drug me and you give me Molly, throw some cyanide in there because I will come at you in ways that you will not see coming.
No.
Don't underestimate me. I can Kaiser Soze your ass better than you probably think.
I'm sure you could, but also I wouldn't want it to be a bad experience. So one, limited.
And that was Ari's thing. He was like, you had a blast. He was telling him, like, you had so much fun. He's like, yeah, until the panic attacks, the fact that I had to run away from my wife and kids.
I would try to limit the dose. You don't have a wife and kids. You don't have anything, like anybody, where it turns into anything curvy.
In my mind, you are now justifying this in your head.
So what I would do is I would reach out to one of our mutual female friends and just say, hey, I'm going to need you to take a bullet for me. Right? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to need you to be there. When he gets super touchy-feely, I'm going to throw you at him. Just let him give you hugs, right? He's probably going to be sweaty, and let's just see what happens, right?
I genuinely... All right, I'm glad we had this conversation, because my trust level has gone from very high to get your guard back up to...
Listen, if it goes the way I think, you'll have a blast. Right. If it also goes the way I think,
you sound so much like Ari Shaffir. Right
at now. Some point in time, I do imagine you're going to be holed up in your room, like with a gun, like Smokey and Friday, and then that's something that we'll have to deal with.
Please have a contingent plan for that, friend.
I got you.
Yeah, you got me. Oh my God, I cannot believe this goes. I'm not even going to ask a question. I'm not even going to ask a question because I'm afraid I know the answer.
Yes, and it wasn't a huge effect on me. I just could not small dose, and all I'm right. An enormous human. So
true,
right? I felt like warm and bubbly, and whatever. But it wasn't like I never got dehydrated and had panic attacks and thought I was gonna die.
And that's what Kreischer was saying, which is hilarious to me. That Ari Shaffir was the comic that stole jokes. Or sorry, that had jokes stolen from him by Carlos Mencia. That Joe Rogan confronted Carlos Mencia, and they both now become friends with Bert Kreischer, who is a favorite comic of yours. And we talked about favorite comics.
One of
comics.
My favorite comics, and I met him in person. Love him.
And
I think if that's, like, other than you, he is the other person that I would love to see that with, just because he's fucking hilarious and his physical humor. And when he can't control it, that would be great. You, on the other hand, would just be great.
Oddly, I'm taking it as a compliment until my heart explodes in my chest.
Again, limited doses, bro.
All right. Well, thank you for being responsible when you illegally drug me and caused me to do things that will...
That's what we call the responsible Cosby.
I can't think of a better way to end the show. Or maybe I just want the show to be over. Steven, I love you, man. Good talking to you.
See, this is where I wish we could do... music on the show without getting
what would you play right now?
There's literally a song called Molly.
Okay,
right? They just say Molly Molly over and over again. That's right. how I would like to end the show.
I've talked to you about the movie Molly's Game, yes. Right? Yes. Idris Elba and Jessica Chastain, and there's a scene in that movie where the prosecutors are attacking her. She's claiming not to have had a big role, and. They said, well, if you didn't have a big role, we have all these things saying, bring Molly, get Molly, call, get Molly, whatever. And she goes, they're talking about the drug. And Idris Elba steps in and says, I've seen you fuck up a lot of times in your career, but I've never seen you step in it just like now. Great movie, great scene. I'm throwing awkwardness at you just so you pay the price for what you just said you would do to me.
No.
But by the way, Molly's Game, great movie, worth watching.
I will look it up.
Okay.
You said Idris Elba?
Idris Elba.
All seven of the women who listened to the show just said, all right, I'm in.
One of the women. Who's the sexiest man in the world on People magazine?
Hard to argue. I mean, like, listen.
And he's great in this movie. And Jessica Chastain's cleavage should have gotten an Oscar for best cleavage. So men, women, enjoy this movie. And it's about poker. And I would love to talk about my poker playing experience in Michigan. But we're not going to. We are out. Thank you for listening. At Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter.
Oh, Jim at Whiskey Congress. You know what?
Hold on. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Plan trip to Vegas. That's where I'll do it.
You just told me where I need to guard every drink. You would fucking molly me in Vegas? Are you out of your fucking mind? Do you remember what happened last time we were in Vegas together?
You might as well have been fucking mollied in Vegas.
Fair. No, not fair. Not fair. Because I drank myself into unconsciousness and saved Vegas from me. If I was sober in that condition, are you fucking kidding me?
You know what I would have done? You would have been in jail.
Because I would have died at Topgolf. I would have jumped off Topgolf.
No, you would have just tried to maul our server, who, I mean.
I almost did that.
Yeah.
With half a bottle of vodka in me. We started drinking at 10 in the fucking morning. If you molly me in Vegas, someone will be digging a hole in the desert. All right, fine. De Niro Pesci in Casino right now. Listen to me, motherfucker. You only exist out here because of me. Without me, no.
I wouldn't do that to you in Vegas.
You wouldn't do that to yourself in Vegas. Because you would feel so guilty trying to make sure I didn't die.
Yes, that's true.
And good luck trying to stop me from dying.
And the problem is, I don't. Yes, I wouldn't do that to you in Vegas because you probably would die.
I'm a big enough threat to myself in Vegas with Budweiser.
Because you don't believe in water. So.
Fucking A. I tried to drink tap water, it was horrible.
Okay, and maybe that's my fault for not telling you what to do.
I love the fact this is happening.
I just assumed that you knew that we were going to a fucking desert, Jim. And that you probably needed to drink fucking water.
I drank a bunch of water.
No, you did not.
Just not
There's
enough.
No fucking way.
Not enough. This is all right.
Like, as soon as you get to the hotel, you have to do it. You have to buy the biggest bottle of water they have in the thing.
32 ounces of Gatorades and a liter of water.
Gatorade
was not nearly enough. No. Oh, my God. Well, it was 120 degrees and 40-mile-an-hour winds, and we were outside. Mm-hmm. And then there's, all right, I'm glad this is getting recorded, so when I get mollied in fucking Vegas, then all those shows you were talking about previously about how there's shows about white-on-white crime, this is Steve on Jim crime, and you are going to get convicted based on this getting recorded, which I will be publishing in minutes just to make sure if it happens tonight, you don't escape the law, my friend. Murder, not manslaughter. At Whiskey Congress on social media. Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com, Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com. This is why I love doing the show. Honestly, the last half hour of the show has been great. And if this is my eulogy, couldn't be much better. We're out.
Molly.